Let's open our Bible to Proverbs chapter 7, chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. It's good that we will read this passage together. No? Open your Bible, chapter 27, verse 17. Okay, let us read together, huh? Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Reading, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Let us pray and ask God's blessings. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for how you have seen us and provided us. Thank you for the nice dinner that we have, delicious dinner that we have. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us. And we pray that you'd continue to protect us and guide us throughout this camp. We pray, Lord, that tonight you would give us understanding. We pray also that you would give us the grace to apply the words that we have heard and put it in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. Lord, help us to be a better Christian. Help us to love thee. And help us, Lord, to be faithful to thee. And use us, Lord, for the extension of the kingdom because we are saved to serve. We pray this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Based on this passage, Proverbs 27, verses 17, the title of our message tonight is Be a Spiritual Sharpener. Before God has saved us, we are of the world. And also we are walking in the ways and patterns of the world. Just look back what you were doing before you met the Lord. The lifestyle that you had before you met the Lord. We are walking in the ways and patterns of the world. But by the grace of God, God saved us out of the world. However, you should bear this in mind. Yes, before we are of the world, we are enjoying the pleasures of the world. But by the grace of God, He took us out of the world, from the world. But He took us out from the world not to be alone, but to be with God's people. That's very important. That's why we are having our church camp right now. God took you out from the world and be with God's people. Therefore, Christianity is not a religion of isolation. I am saying this because there are people, Christians, who are trying to isolate themselves. I don't know if these people are doing it willfully or unintentionally, but I saw it in my very own eyes that there are Christians who want to isolate themselves from their fellow Christians. They come to Sunday service. After the Sunday service, they go straight home. They attend prayer meeting. After the prayer meeting, they don't want to talk with people. These people is trying to make their own social or spiritual cocoon. This cocoon is ours. Because they want to protect themselves from any pressure or any disappointment in Christian fellowship. They thought by doing this, they could avoid the demands and difficulties which Christian fellowship requires. But friends, I want to tell you, If you isolate yourself, if you avoid Christian fellowship, that is not the will of God in your life. In fact, in the Bible, we could see verses. No, in fact, I read the article of your pastor. He read these verses. He wrote verses that talks one to another, you see? And now, before going further, I want to open three passages of scriptures that talks about one another. Can we open to Romans chapter 12, verse 10? Romans chapter 12, verse 10. I'll read. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. This verse is just a very short verse. The word one another appears how many times? How many times? Twice. Two times. Now, let's move on to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 32. I'll read. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So again, the word one another appears here. How many times? Twice, two times. Let's open Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. I'll read. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also do ye. The word one another appears how many times? Twice. You see, I'm opening this passage of scripture to you, my dear friends, because I want you to know that it's not God's will for Christian to isolate yourselves from Christian fellowship. But it's the other way around. The will of God for Christians is that you must mingle with people, you must talk with people, you must encourage one another, you must be helping one another. That's why I told you in the very beginning, yes, we are of the world, and by the grace of God, God called us out of the world. But He did not call us out of the world to be isolated, but to be a member of God's family. That's wonderful. There is no blessing in life of isolation, but rather God's blessing come to us when we, children of God's people, encourage one another and building one another in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that our text tonight, Proverbs 27, verse 17, will teach us more about this truth, that we need to be encouraging, caring one another. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know, the book of Proverbs is a poetry, like Psalm. Psalm also is a poetic book. And you know, as far as Hebrew is concerned, they have this wonderful kind of writing to convey truth in poetry. They call it parallelism. I try to pronounce it slowly so that I can get the word parallelism from the word parallel. You see, if you try to read the book of Psalm or the book of Proverbs, first you could see this, that sometimes the second statement would disagree the first statement. For example, this is an example. The godly will be blessed, the wicked will be punished. You see, the second statement contradicts the first statement. That is one kind of parallelism. But as you read along the poetic books, sometimes the second statement agrees with the first statement. Let's say, for example, the righteous will be blessed, the godly will flourish. You see, the second statement agrees with the first statement. And that is the situation of our text tonight. Look at verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. This is not a contradiction. The first statement, it gives you, the first part, it gives you a statement, and the second part continues to explain the first part. This is the kind of parallelism that we will be looking at tonight. Be a spiritual sharpener. Take note in the beginning part of verse 17. The word iron there is repeated twice, isn't it? Is it? Yeah. If you said, no, maybe your Bible is not a King James Version. Repeated twice. Iron sharpeneth iron. We see two irons here. But I want to tell you, yes, there are two irons here, but they are different in kind. I want to focus my attention on the second iron. Iron sharpeneth iron. The iron here refers to a sharp tools of the farmer. That is the word iron here. You know, when you go to the farmers, they have this plow. And this plow has sharp edges. This is the iron here. Second iron. Of course, when the farmers cultivate the land, when farmers cultivate their farms, they continue to use these sharp tools of the farmer. They use these tools, if not every day, every week, if not every week, every other day, because they have to take care of the plants. And if you continue to use these sharp-edged tools, what will happen? Later, it will become blunt and dull. And when you are a farmer and you knew that your sharp tools become blunt and dull and you will not sharpen it, you are not a wise farmer. Because the more effort you exert, the more labor you exert, the quality of your performance is not good. Why? Because the tools you have is no longer good. It's already dull and blunt. So a wise farmer, when he realized, when he discovered that the sharp tools he owns becomes blunt, he must rest for a while, take time to sharpen the tools. He will get another iron to sharpen this tool. And that iron is the first iron of verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron. That's why I told you, Hebrew poetry is very wonderful. In the beginning part of verse 17, the author draws a picture of farming in order to convey a spiritual truth. Friends, in our life, sometimes we experience and face disappointment in life. We experience conflict. We experience sickness. We experience sorrow. Is there anyone here, since you become a Christian, you didn't experience disappointment? You didn't experience sorrow? You didn't experience trial? No! Because sometimes God allows us to be tried in order that we will grow in our faith. So as normal as we are, even though we are Christians, we have experienced testings and trials in life. And sometimes because of testings, sometimes because of disappointment, our emotions are affected. We become fatigued emotionally. And sometimes we become blunt and dull spiritually. Isn't it? Sometimes I visit to different churches. And when I visit the different churches, I take note of those people who are very active. I look at the faces. You know, I'm not very good in memorizing the name, especially Chinese name. I found it very difficult. There was one subject in FABC, and we studied the book of Jansung. Jansung is a Chinese. And all the characters are Chinese name, and we have to memorize that for the exam. Oh, very difficult. How come I took the subject? All the Chinese name. That Qing, Qing, it just makes up in my mind. I notice the people, those who are active. You know, sometimes when I come back to church, those people who are active are no longer there. And I ask why. Because people were discouraged. And now they are no longer serving the Lord. They come to church once in a while. I thank God when I come to Bethel, those faces that I saw active are still active. Generally speaking. Friends, as a Christian, as a child of God, sometimes God allows us to face testings and trials. Even sometimes, God allows us to experience painful sickness in life. Lord, I'm serving in the youth ministry. I'm giving tithes. I'm keep on praying. I'm totally dependent from you. Why is it that you allow me to have this kind of sickness? You start to be discouraged. You start to become blunt spiritually. But thank God, when this time comes, that we become blunt spiritually, we become dull spiritually, God provides spiritual sharpener. That's wonderful. What, brother? When I become discouraged, when I become blunt spiritually, God provides spiritual sharpener? Yes! Who are these spiritual sharpeners? Passengers of the discipleship. Are you passengers of the discipleship? Yes, my ID, passenger. Are you a spiritual sharpener? Was there a time in your life that you prayed to the Lord, make me a blessing to other people? Was there a time in your life that you told God, Lord, use me, Lord, to encourage people who are emotionally fatigued? Use my life, Lord, to encourage people who are spiritually dry at this point of time. It's good. Saturday night, Sunday morning, before you go to church, Lord, I believe that there are people right there in the church this coming Sunday that they are dry, barren spiritually. Make my life a blessing to them, Lord. Use me to encourage them. Have you prayed that kind of prayer? Sometimes when we pray, we just pray, Lord, give me this. Lord, give me this. It's just all about ourselves. And in order for us to be a spiritual sharpener, we should not be consumed by ourselves and become self-centered. The moment you always think of yourself, the moment you are so self-centered, you cannot be a spiritual sharpener, my dear friends. If you think that all the blessings you receive, if you think that all the energy that you receive is for your own self alone, you could not be a spiritual blessing, a spiritual sharpener to other people. I'm just a new Christian. I received the Lord 2000 when I was in the rehab center. And as I look back, my greatest enemy in my Christian walk is my old self. It's myself. That's why we need to deny ourselves so that our life will be used by God to revive those people who are down spiritually. Can we open to Philippians chapter 2, verse 4? Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. I'll read. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Have you seen the word there, the beginning of verse 4? Look, the word look. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The word look here is not used in its casual meaning. You know, when you walk in the streets of Melbourne, I believe that you will be also looking people, isn't it? Because when you walk in the streets of Melbourne and you will not look people, you look strange, you look weird. So when you are walking in the streets of Melbourne, you also look people, but in a casual way. But here, when Paul said, look with compassion, look with sensitivity, look with love with other people. That's the emphasis here of the word look. By way of illustration, I want to give you an illustration. There was a man whose work is to fetch people. I mean, to fetch water to the people in the community. Because the setting of this story is in the countryside. There is no faucet that goes to the house. There is just a well of water, and then the people would carry water to their houses. So this man, the work of this man, he earns an income every day, morning and afternoon. He would go to the well, fetch water out of his two water containers, and he would carry these two water containers to the houses. And people would buy the water. He earns money because of this job. And while he was doing this job, a friend of his told him, "Friend, have you noticed something?" Then this man asked, "What is it? I haven't noticed. You see, your two containers has crack at the bottom of the water containers. There was crack. So whenever he carries the water just flows. But the crack is not that very big, just a bit crack. So when he carried the water, he was bringing the water to the houses. He tried to observe if what his friend was telling was true. And he noticed that it was really true. While he was carrying the two water containers, he noticed that the water was flowing. But there is one thing that he noticed. The water that flows goes to the plants beside the pathway that he was walking. It goes to the plant. He said, "Yes, it's true. There is a crack, two cracks in my water container, but the water that flows is not, it's just very little, but this little water goes to the plant." So he just didn't mind it. After a week, he noticed that the plant beside the pathway grows nice, and later it blossoms and there were flowers. So he was very encouraged. Yes, though part of the water flows to the plant, but you see, now the plant is blossoming flowers, and he was very encouraged. One day, as he was continuing this work of fetching water, he realized that the crack of the water containers became very big and he needs to buy a new one. So he had no choice but to buy new water containers. During the night, after he bought the water containers, he was very sad. You know why he was sad? Because the water containers are brand new and there was no more crack. He said, "I could no longer water the plants." So he couldn't sleep. His heart was painful. Then he decided that though the water containers are brand new, he made a little crack purposely so that in the following day, he could continue to water the plants. It's wonderful. Friends, are you willing to invest your life to another's life? If you want to be a spiritual sharpener, you must be willing to invest your life with another's life. As I prepare this message, I made some research about new converts coming to the church. And what I found out is this, that those people who are new converts of the church and still continuing to worship in that certain church where the research was made, it's because the person who invited them to the church continues to encourage the person, continues to guide the person to the truth, and even expose the person to the service. That's why the people, the new converts that are still worshiping the church, are still worshiping the church because the people who invited them continuously invested their lives to their lives. And on the other side, those people who are no longer attending the church were asked, why is it that you are no longer worshiping the church? For the past weeks, you were there. And these people said, the man who invited us to the church is not a genuine Christian. What? No! He is a Christian. Yes, he is a Christian. But you know, he is like a salesman. He is not investing his life to our lives. Friends, this is very important. Being a passenger of the discipleship, when we invite people, we should not paint ourselves like a salesman. You know, salesman, do you want to sell their product? We just want them to come to church and after that, we just leave them. There was a young lady in a church who was dramatically converted in the church through the effort of the young people. He was worshiping in the church for 2 months. And after 2 months, the lady dropped out from the church. So the pastor's wife called the lady, hey, you have been attending in our church. In fact, by the grace of God, you are saved in our church. Why is it right now you are no longer attending in our church? And the young lady answered, you know, I felt that I am an extra in your church. That's why I'm worshiping this another church. Friends, we must be careful. You know, sometimes, especially now we have a church camp, I'm telling you some practical things. And here in the church camp, you learn to be close with one another, isn't it? Sometimes I look at you, there are 5 of you who are very close. There are also 6 of you who are very close. There are 5 of you also very close. So the service, after the closing hymn, the pastor will say, okay, you give, be seated with thanksgiving. You pray, Lord, thank you for the blessings. After you pray, immediately you look your friends, close friends. Hi, how are you? How are you? Then you form a circle. You drink coffee. You keep on talking. Then you just talk among yourself, isn't it? I'm not saying it's wrong. It's okay. But please be sensitive of the newcomers of the church. Yes, you group your people. Let's say, for example, you are 5 people. Okay, you talk. At the same time, be sensitive. Who are the newcomers? So if you are 5 in the group, you go, the 5 of you, go to that newcomer and encourage. If you want to be a spiritual sharpener. This is a problem not just of your church, not just in my church, of all Christian churches. Sometimes we are not aware of this truth. Hey, hi, your friends, you keep on talking with your friends. There are newcomers, you don't even bother to talk. You don't even bother to say hi. Sometimes when I'm invited in the church, new invitation, after I preach, it's very awkward because I don't know who are the people I'm going to talk. This is part of our life if we want to be a passenger of the discipleship. We want to invest our life, Father's life. Iron sharpens iron. But my friend, I want to give you a warning at this point of time. Not all iron sharpens iron. Let's say your mother has a knife, you see? Then the wife of your mother become blunt, you see? Then there is some iron just around there. You get the iron, then you try to rub the iron to the knife. It's possible that the knife will not be sharpened. It will become more blunt. Not all iron sharpens iron, I tell you. In the same way, not all people is a spiritual sharpener when we are in a down situation. Can we open, I want to illustrate to you, 2 Samuel chapter 13. Can we open to 2 Samuel, chapter 13? Let us read this responsibly, okay? You open to 2 Samuel. I'll read 1st chapter 13, verse 1. Verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Verse 2. You read verse 2? You see here in verse 1 and verse 2, Amnon likes his half-sister because her half-sister looked beautiful and he loved her half-sister. You see, Amnon here has some problem. He become slowly bland and dull spiritually. You see the situation? I'll read to you verse 3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Junadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Junadab was very subtle man. So here in verse 3, there is an iron. And the name of this iron, who? Junadab. And this iron is very subtle. Can you read verse 4, please? Verse 5, I'll read. And Junadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat at her hand. Verse 6. Verse 7, then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to their brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. Verse 8. Verse 9, I'll read. And she looked a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out, every man from him. Verse 10. Verse 11. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come, lie with me, and sister, my sister. Verse 12. Verse 13, and I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of my fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Verse 14. In verses 1 and verse 2 of chapter 13, we could see that Amnon was slowly becoming dull and bland spiritually. He lusted after his own half-sister. And there was an iron in verse 3, which is a friend of Amnon, Jonadab. And you know what was the advice of Jonadab, as we just read? What? Amnon, you are sad. You are the son of a king. Don't be sad. That one is very easy. You pretend to be sick and tell your father that I want my sister Tamar to take care of me, to bring food for me. And the moment Tamar is there, you close the door and you rape Tamar. That was the advice of a subtle friend. Who? Junadab. What happened? Amnon listened to the advice of Junadab, and it ended up that he raped her own sister. Friends, not all iron sharpens iron. When you are down spiritually, when you are discouraged, when you are emotionally fatigued, please walk with God's people. Please go to your Christian friends and ask advice from Christian friends. Because those people who are Christians, they are the one designed by God to sharpen you when you are down spiritually. Please don't go to your unbelieving office mates. Please don't go to your non-Christian friends when you are down spiritually. What will they advise you? Let's go clubbing. Let's go drinking. Let's go disco. And when you are down spiritually, when you are fatigued emotionally, that is the time that you are very susceptible to sin. Take note of that. Don't think that I am a Christian. I am a Bethelite. I could no longer be tempted. No. If you are a man who walks with God, you are also a man who walks with people who walks with God. Do not walk with people who do not walk with God. And here, we learn a lesson here. Let's say, for example, in the church, there are people who need your advices. There are people who are down spiritually and they wanted to come after you and ask advices. And because you are very busy with other things, instead of they want to seek advice from you because you are very busy, they feel ashamed to approach you. And you know what happened? They approach non-Christian friends. And they ended up doing the wrong things. It's sad to say, my dear friends. That's why we as Christians, we must have time to invest our lives to another lives. Be careful. Do not be proud, my dear friends. The moment you feel a bit dull spiritually, please be close to your Christian friends. This is a lesson we have learned from 2 Samuel chapter 13. The moment you think that you could no longer be tempted, that is the weakest point of your life. I remember of a motocross contest. You know, when I was also in my college, I liked to ride motorbike, then like hit in a obstacle, then it goes high, then you know, the motorbike flies like a bird, you see? I like it. But I got crushed many times. And when there is a motorbike contest, even though it's very far, I have to spend money, I want to watch the motorbike contest. And you know, there was a time that there was motocross contest. You know, there are obstacles, right? Then it will hit, pack, it will fly, then it will curve. So I really enjoyed. And there was a rider, he drove and he ride the motorbike very excellent. He was very skillful. At the same time, he was very vigilant. The moment the bike hits the obstacle, it will goes high like a bird. Then when it lands, it goes left. He knows how to drive. Perfect. I really admired him. And because he was so skillful, he was so vigilant, he ride it very perfectly, he became the champion of the contest. When he hits, after he touched the finishing line, he became the champion. You know what happened? He stood in the motorbike. He stood saying, "Hey, I'm the champion, hey." So people were clapping, "Hey, hey." So he just keep on looking at the people. He didn't know that the motorbike was heading towards the fence. Then people say, "Hey, you are heading towards the fence. Hey, I'm the champion. The motorbike hit the fence. He ended up in the hospital. You see, during the obstacles, he was very careful. When he became champion, he met an accident and he landed in the hospital. To apply in our lives, we Christians, we should not be very proud in our Christian walk. All the time, we must be very careful. The moment we feel down, please walk with God's people. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Take note, my dear friends, that in verse 17, the noun used here are all singular, no plural. Iron sharpeneth iron, man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It's all singular. So here, we could learn here that this sharpening to one another must go down to its personal level. So if you are a Christian, it must be part of your Christian blood that we would encourage one another and you would be sensitive to those people who are down spiritually and you have to go there and encourage. It must be in a personal level. And of course, the process of sharpening, you know, sharpening is a process. It's a continuous. Let's say, for example, I have a knife and the knife now becomes blunt. So I'll take another iron. What? I'll just do once, then it will become sharpened. It's sharp, become sharp already. No, you continue to rub, then it will become sharp. It's a process. Sometimes in our Christian walk, this week, I encourage this sister. Next week, I continue to encourage this sister. Then in the third week, he said, Nola, it's already almost a month. I encourage this sister, but nothing happens. I think it's enough. No. You should continue to encourage the sister. You should continue to encourage that brother. That is what it means to be a spiritual sharpener. And when you encourage your brother, when you encourage your sister, take note of the purpose. Look at the purpose in verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So the purpose here of encouraging is what? To sharpen. Take note of this. Why I am saying take note of this? Because many times, based on experience in the ministry, there are times that, yes, I want to be a spiritual sharpener. I want to invest my life. So there is a person here who is down spiritually. There is a Christian who is down spiritually, no longer active in the church, no longer active in the Lord's service. So I want to be a spiritual sharpener because I am a passenger of the discipleship. So you use your time. Brother, sister, what you are doing is wrong. Actually, you do that. You know what happens sometimes? It ends up that you are quarreling with a person. And you lose. You mean, when you quarrel the person, you defeat the purpose. Because the purpose of encouraging one another, the purpose of iron, sharpen iron, is to make the countenance of the person bitter. Better, I mean. So it's very, very important that when you enter this ministry, you must have the focus of the purpose. The purpose is to what? Sharpen. To make the person better. Not to quarrel the person. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. There was one time in the ministry, in the Filipino ministry, because before I go back to Cebu, I was involved in the Filipino ministry in Singapore. And you know, this lady, every Sunday he came to me, he just keep on crying and crying because he was carrying a heavy load of problem. And you know, if you are a minister of the gospel, then a person keep on crying in your front, of course, emotionally, you will be affected. Sometimes also when she cries, I also cry. Just imagine you are a pastor of the church, then somebody cries in front of you, then you will laugh. It's a crazy thing to do. So I am also affected. And the problem is this. She had a boyfriend, and the boyfriend had another lady, and it was very painful. And my advice is to stop the relationship. At first, he couldn't, she couldn't. She got angry with me. With prayer and advice, she obeyed the word of God. She obeyed my advices. And now, she decided to stop the relationship. And now, he is very active in the church. At first, it was very, painful in my heart that she wouldn't just listen to me. And there was a time that she was angry with me. Sometimes I decided not to talk with her. And again, when she come back on Sunday, I pray to the Lord and we talk. And by the grace of God, the Lord opened her eyes. And now she is very active in the church. When you invest your life to another's life, be careful of the purpose. The purpose is that you must make his countenance better. And the word countenance here means his spiritual and emotional personality of a person. Yes, when you first come to the person, the spiritual personality of the person is down. And make sure that as you keep on talking with them, as you spend time with him, the personal characteristic of the person, the spiritual personality of the person slowly becomes shiny. That what it means, iron sharpeneth iron. And you know, friends, when you invest your time and life to other people, of course, the people whom you're investing your time will receive blessing. But you know what? You will also receive blessing. That's very important. There was a Presbyterian pastor of America, and he wanted to encourage the church in China. So he went to China with the purpose of to encourage the new church in China. So he went to China. He was a pastor, Presbyterian pastor in America, having a big congregation. So he went to China. He knew that the service there would start at 9 o'clock in the morning. So he said, 9 o'clock in the morning? So I think I have to go there at 8 o'clock because I want to observe the people in the church, if they will come early or not. The service is 9 o'clock. So he went there 8 o'clock to observe the people in the church if they would come early. When he arrived at church, he noticed that the church is already full of people. The members of the church, more than 90% of the church was already there. And you know what they're doing? What they were doing? They were kneeling and praying. And he was surprised. He was surprised and he sat in the corner and said, in my church in America, my service is 9 o'clock. The people would come 10 minutes before 9. Most of the people are late and even they keep on talking. They never pray. But when he saw that the people in China, 1 hour before the service, they were kneeling, they were praying, he was very encouraged. He went there to encourage, but he ended up going home so encouraged because of what he had seen in the church in China. This is life, my dear friends. When we invest our life to other people's life, we will be encouraged. Kindly open to Proverbs chapter 11,
verse 25.
Proverbs 11, verse 25. We will read together, huh? Proverbs 11, verse 25. Are you there? Let us read together. Proverbs 11, verse 25. Reading. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You underline this verse. You know, sometimes we invest our time. We said, you know, to be involved in discipleship, it demands time. But friends, I hope that you would cling on to the promises of God's word. If you give more yourself to others, the more God gives back to you. That is the principle of this verse. There are people who attend Bible study. And when they attend Bible study, they take notes. Very good. Aside from attending Bible study, they also attend Sunday service. And then when they attend Sunday service, they take notes and they are very attentive. Not only attending Sunday service, they also attend prayer meeting. And in the prayer meeting, they look very religious and they also pray. But you know, sometimes these people, though they attended Sunday school, though they attended Sunday service, though they attended prayer meeting, they still become barren spiritually and not very encouraged in the Christian walk. You know why? all the things that they have learned, they just keep it in themselves. They have no outlet. They don't share what they have learned to other people. This is very important. You want your life to be shiny spiritually. You want to experience the abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must learn to share what you have learned to other people. Be a spiritual sharpener. Last year, I read a Christian article that says, there are people in the church looks unhappy in Sunday service. There are people in the church not so joyful in the Sunday service and in the church. And you know why? Why is these people not very joyful, not very happy in the church? Because they don't spend time sharing what they have learned to other people. They don't spend their life and time investing to other people. So, my dear friends, the lesson that we have learned tonight is this. Iron sharpeneth iron. Be a spiritual sharpener. You invest your life, you invest your time to those people who are down spiritually, to those people who are emotionally fatigued, so that their countenance will become shining again. Then God will bless you, and you could experience an abundant life in Christ. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for speaking to us tonight. Thank you, Lord, of the lesson that we have learned tonight. As iron sharpeneth iron, we being the passengers of the discipleship, help us to be willing to invest our life to other persons who are in need, so that they could experience and taste the love of Christ. Lord, help us to deny ourselves. Help us not to be self-centered, but to be willing to make our lives to a blessing for others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.